The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. Legend has it that watching an apple drop from a tree gave Isaac Newton an insight into gravity that was a major contribution to a change of worldview in the West. No longer could we have the earth below and heaven above. Instead, the earth became one of many moving bodies in a big, glorious universe where moons and planets and stars and falling apples all obey the same laws. Laws like gravity. A few centuries later, Albert Einstein demonstrated that some of Newton's assumptions, though understandable, were off. Space and time, said Einstein, are not like a stage set in which the objects of the universe play out their destiny. Space and time are actors in the play, and the way they behave depends on the way they're observed. Even gravity, said Einstein, does not behave exactly as Newton said. Gravity doesn't pull the earth and the apple towards one another. Gravity, said Einstein, is a warp in space-time that causes the earth and the apple to bump into each other. He made some predictions, like how the space-time warp would bend starlight passing close to the sun, and that prediction was verified by experiment during a solar eclipse. Science, whose goal is to wrest all of nature's secrets away from her, could have felt pretty smug about all of this if it weren't for quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics, which is mostly math, grew out of studies of the tiniest things known, protons, electrons, and an entire zoo of short-lived particles that would zing away from high-speed collisions of matter. Quantum mechanics is all about probability. It won't say anything exact about where any of these too-tiny-to-see particles are, or if they're spinning, or how fast they're moving. It just gives probabilities. That idea is even less intuitive than warps in space-time dragging apples out of trees, but the math was backed up by experiment. So science had to settle for Einstein's general relativity for big stuff and quantum mechanics for little stuff, and no way of drawing the line in between. Very unsatisfying. Physicists spent the 20th century trying to devise an uber theory that would weave the big and the little together with the same rules. The best they've come up with is to theorize the existence of strings and brains, which have been teased into existence by the math. Are they really out there? Who knows? In this theory, our universe is composed of one-dimensional strings whose various vibrations make matter and energy. The ends of the strings are attached to a three-dimensional object called a brain that floats in a 10-dimensional space. Why the extra 7 dimensions? The math doesn't work without them. Are they really there? Can we climb out of our 3 dimensions and check them out? Scientific instruments use light and other forms of electromagnetism to poke around where we can't go and bring back information that's not available to our senses. Electromagnetism lives in 3-dimensional space, like, say, a polywog lives in a pond. It can go anywhere inside, but it can't leave and bring back information from the outside. Gravity is different. Einstein demonstrated that gravity warps space, just as waves can warp water and make ripples on a pond. But you won't get pond ripples without an action from outside the pond. Wind, for example, or a stone you skip across the surface. If there's more to gravity than just the ripples, if gravity exists in some extra dimensions beyond our three, you might be able to check out those extra dimensions with a well-designed pair of gravity glasses. Except they haven't been invented yet. For now, instead of the earth below and heaven above, like the Pope said, the math says we've got the earth within and something without. What that something is and whether it exists at all, scientists just don't know. In order to find out, they've sat back down under the tree with the ghost of Isaac Newton, squinting at that apple, wondering what really happens when that stem lets go. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.